Gentus presents The Rebels by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. Chapter 1. Justin tacked his cutter expertly into Sydney Cove, and as her mainsail came down, Andrew, stationed in her bows for that purpose, let go her anchor, and she came to within hailing distance of Robert Campbell's wharf. The anchorage looked peaceful enough, with its usual complement of trading vessels, whalers, and river craft swinging to their moorings in the light offshore breeze. The colonial frigate, HMS Porpoise, was absent, however, and remarking this as he came aft to assist Justin to stow canvas, Andrews said with relief, "The situation must have improved if the governor has let her go, don't you think?" Justin, concentrating with the single-minded detachment he always gave to the securing of his small command, grunted indifferently, and appeared not to have heard, but a little later, their chores completed, he dispelled his stepfather's brief illusion. "She was due to go to the Cape for stores just after we sailed. I don't reckon the governor had much choice." He jerked his wind-ruffled fair head in the direction of the wharf. "But if you want to find out what's afoot, we could make our report to Mr. Campbell right away before he comes to us. I see the Parramatta's here."
"The Parramatta?"
"Aye, Mr. MacArthur's schooner." Justin grinned, with two constables in uniform patrolling her deck and her hatches battened down. The boy's sharp eyes had missed nothing, Andrew thought, but he asked, puzzled, "What does that signify, lad?"
"Trouble," Justin replied, still grinning. "She's under arrest. There was some story about her master having smuggled an escapee on board and given him passage to Otaheite. The provost marshal had her searched twice before she was allowed to sail from here. They found no one, but I suppose they've managed to pin it on the people now," he shrugged. "I'll get the dinghy."
Robert Campbell gravely confirmed this supposition when they joined him in his dockside office 20 minutes later.
"Sydney is agog, waiting for the storm to break, as I fear it's about to, and the wildest rumours are gaining credence, each wilder than the last. The most recent I have heard is that Mr. Atkins, a judge advocate, has issued a warrant for Mr. MacArthur's arrest, to be served on him today by Francis Oakes in Parramatta."
The port naval officer spread his big, strong hands in a gesture of resignation.
"Naturally, by reason of my office, I'm embroiled in the unhappy affair. I had to place the Parramatta under arrest for a start. The civil court ordered her owners to forfeit their bond, and they have refused to do so, although the master made a full confession of guilt."
He told of the crew's decision to come ashore in defiance of port regulations, and added wryly,
"Now the judge advocate has convened the magistrate's bench for tomorrow morning, and I am required to sit, presumably to hear the case against MacArthur, if, that is to say, he submits to Oakes's warrant and appears before us to answer the charges."
"Don't you think he will?" Andrew asked, hearing the doubt in his tone. "Surely he cannot refuse to appear."
"The good Lord in heaven alone knows what he'll do, Captain Hawley," Robert Campbell returned. "He is as devious and unpredictable as they come. And who knows better than John MacArthur how to bend the law to his advantage? He's been doing it for years, harassing honest fellows like Will Gore and Lieutenant Marshall, and that poor devil Andrew Thompson with his scurvy, trumped-up lawsuits. This colony has suffered enough from him, and the governor has to make a stand against MacArthur and the Corps, who will, it goes without saying, support him whatever he elects to do. If we could rid New South Wales of the lot of them, it would be our salvation, in my view. My only fear, and it's one that haunts me, is what will be the consequence should we try and fail."
He spoke with deep feeling, and Andrew, who had always respected his integrity and enterprise, nodded in sober agreement.
"You can count on my support, Mr. Campbell, for what it is worth," he offered.
"Good. That's what I hoped. But it is a pity you're not a civil magistrate."